We are thankful that each of you is here today, and I appreciate the opportunity to bring the lesson of the hour. Think for a moment about the word cheap, C-H-E-A-P. We hear that word used many times in conversations. Someone may be looking at a person's appearance and dress and say that person has on cheap apparel and may not be referring to how much it costs, but how it looks and maybe the lack of neatness or the lack of cleanliness. During a football game, sometimes I'll hear the word cheap used by an announcer referring to a cheap shot. And usually he means in that case that one of the men on one of the teams has slugged one on the other team when the official was not looking. He took a cheap shot at him. One waitress might say to another, "I'll tell you, that man is cheap," when the person who apparently is fairly rich leaves practically no tip. We use that word in many ways. I want us to think about it this morning as we think about religion. Cheap religion. And I'd like for you to take the lesson personally, in that I would encourage you to really stop and think about your relationship to God as we discuss this lesson. The scripture reading came from 2 Samuel 24 about a situation where David wanted to offer sacrifices to God and did not have the means to do that, did not have the items that he needed. And so he went to a man by the name of Araunah. 1 Chronicles 21 calls the man Ornan, seemingly the same person, called by two different names in two different places. And he said, "I need a threshing floor, and I need these items in order to offer burnt offerings to God." Araunah, knowing that this was King David, said, "King David, just take whatever you want. I'll be glad for you to have it. I'll be glad to give it to you." David said, "No, I don't want you to give it to me. I want to purchase it from you, for I will not offer unto God that which doth cost me nothing." And the account in 1 Chronicles says, "Nor will I offer burnt offerings without cost." We live at a time when many people, at least, try to get by doing as little as they can in the area of work and having to do with money. I'm afraid this trend has also become a part of the lives of too many from a religious standpoint. Those who want to sort of give to God what is left over, or at least what is less than that which is used in other areas of life. Many times I have had people, young and old, make the remark that I just don't have much to give to the Lord's work, when I knew personally that they'd spent $25 or $50 the night before going out to eat or to do something else. It's a little bit hard to understand how someone doesn't have time to be in the worship services, and more than that, to be involved in active participation in areas of work in the church, who have plenty of time to be involved in community activities, and plenty of time to go to ball games and other activities that are in the area of pleasure. I wonder sometimes if God might look at us and be somewhat like that waitress who was referring to the man who didn't tip very much and say, you know, he's cheap. Because it is possible for us to have cheap religion. I want to suggest four thoughts this morning that maybe will help us to understand the concept before us. Folks, we have cheap religion when we try to offer to God that which belongs to another. That was exactly the concept that was involved with David in this particular set of circumstances. He said, Aruna, I don't want you to give me these items because I don't want to be offering to God that which belongs to you. I do not wish to offer to God that which cost me nothing. It's interesting to study the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Bob Day has been teaching some classes in our Wednesday morning session about lessons that we can learn from the offerings and the sacrifices of the Old Testament, and I've appreciated what I've been able to attend of those. You go back to the Old Testament in Exodus 34:20, Deuteronomy 16:16, God says, I do not want anyone to appear before me empty. In other words, something needs to be brought in a personal way. In Leviticus 22:25, he says, do not offer bread that belongs to a stranger. It ought to be yours that you are offering to God. Even in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 16, that has to do with our laying by in store upon the first day of the week, notice he says, let every one of you lay by himself in store. In other words, don't try to let the support of the church and worship to God be based on what somebody else does. But you look at yourself. God said, every one of you is to lay by in store upon the first day of the week. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And the next verse, God says, I do not want some to be eased and others burdened. And this is in the context of the giving of financial means to carry on the work of the church. He said, I don't want you to look at it from the standpoint that I'm going to let others take care of the responsibility and you be eased and others burdened. In other areas of worship, God emphasizes that we're not to offer somebody else's worship. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. 1 Corinthians 11:28. Let a man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Galatians 3:3-4. At the day of judgment, God is going to render to every man according to his deeds. Romans 2:6. And everyone shall give an account. Romans 14:12. With everyone receiving what he's done in the body according to that he hath done. 2 Corinthians 5:10. God wants you to worship him and serve him and be involved in his work because you are you. And he looks at you for who you are and what you are and what you are capable of doing and does not judge you on what somebody else does. It is true that when we are in an assembly, we worship together. God looks into the heart of each one of us. And our religion is cheap. If we're trying to make our worship and our service something that is based upon what the group does, what others do, instead of what I do and what you do. Religion is cheap when we try to offer another's possessions. In the second place, I suggest to you that we have cheap religion when we try to give less than the best to God. There was a time that a congregation was raising money to build a building, and one of the farmers said, "I lost a cow a year ago, and if she's found, the church can have her." Another one in talking about it said, "I'll tell you what, if I had $2,000, I'd give $1,000 of it to the church." And someone else said, "What if you had 2 pigs? He said, "That's not fair. You know I've got 2 pigs. I think sometimes we may be interested in giving God the runt of the liver, of the ones that are born, the pigs that are born of the litter. I remember when I was growing up, just very small, my dad said one time, "Our sow has new pigs, and I'm going to give you one of them. There's a runt, and you can have it." Well, that was a start, and there were times Dad gave me more than the runt. But I wonder sometimes if we are giving God the runt. Again, to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 15 and 17, God said, "I want you to offer that which has no blemish." If there's an animal that has a blemish, you use it somewhere else. When you bring it to God, even though it's going to be a burnt offering, going to be killed and offered, "I don't want one with a blemish." In Numbers 18, verses 12, 29, and 30, God said, "I want you to bring the best." The best. Some of you have heard me tell before about my grandmother Dudney. They lived on a farm and had a big garden and would put up a lot of things in cans in the freezer. And Ma Dudney would always pick out the best beans that she thought she had, and she labeled them preacher beans and put them in the freezer. I was preaching over there one time, was going to be eating with them, and Ma said, "Come and eat lunch with us Sunday," and I thought I'd have some fun. I said, "I will if you'll cook preacher beans." Whether right or wrong, Ma had the idea, "I want to save the best for the preacher." I think there may be some wrong points with that. But it's not wrong when we want to save the best for God. In fact, God requires it. And it's not just in the Old Testament. You are aware of Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you." How many of us in preparing our budget put God first? How many of us in planning our calendars put God first? How many of us give him what's left, money-wise and time-wise? We ought to take seriously our responsibility to wife, husband, child, parents. And yet Jesus told that story about the man that gave the excuse of having bought some ground, and one who had bought some oxen, and one who had married a wife, and said, "I cannot come," to show us how cheap it is when we put others before God. We ought to do everything that we reasonably can to be involved with the activities in which our children are involved. And as husbands, we ought to do everything we can to spend time with each one's wife, each one with his wife and with his own children, but not to put them before God. To stay at home and cook a meal for relatives and miss worship is not putting God first. To go with a spouse to religious services that are not based upon the Word of God out of love for that spouse is certainly lessening one's love for God. And it may become cheap religion when we offer to God less than the best. You see, that's all God wants. He doesn't want what I do to be better than what you do. He wants it to be the best that I can do. Whether it's money, time, effort, or attitude. I further suggest to you that cheap religion is when we serve God with a lack of sacrifice and dedication. One of the words that we've kept before us throughout the year is the word sacrifice. I wonder if you and I really know what that word means. When I'm honest with myself, I have never really had to sacrifice a lot to do the Lord's work. I have been blessed tremendously. And yet, as I look at some of my co-workers in some areas, I realize that they have. When I turn back to the Word of God and look at the life, particularly of the Apostle Paul, I think I begin to understand sacrifice a bit better. And it is possible in the days ahead, if trends continue as they are, that you and I, if we live long enough, may understand sacrifice than we ever have. But are we willing to sacrifice to God? Are we willing to put God before our pleasures as Moses did in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26? Are we willing to forego some of the comforts in life, if necessary, in order to see that God's work is done as it ought to be done? He that endureth to the end shall be saved, Matthew 10, 22. Are you and I willing to endure when the circumstances are not exactly as we would want them to be? Or are we looking for a life of ease? The Bible promises from beginning to end that the more we sacrifice and do for God, the more He'll do for us. The more we give to Him, the more His windows of heaven will be open to us with blessings that are even greater than we can use, Malachi 3. Proverbs 11 says, when we scatter abroad and help others, what comes into us will be multiplied. Are we willing to sacrifice? Our religion may be cheap if we're not. Cheap religion, offering that which belongs to another, offering that which is less than the best, having a lack of willingness to sacrifice and really be dedicated to the Lord's work no matter what. And in the fourth sense, I suggest to you that our religion may be cheap if we offer it with the wrong attitude and from the wrong motive. Something which otherwise might be good is not necessarily good if we have the wrong motive. It is good for each one of us to be here this morning. I honestly believe that. But if you're not here for the right motive, your religion may be cheap. There are some who have the motive to be seen of men. Yes, I'd better go to the worship service. If I don't, somebody will talk about it. I want everybody to see that I'm there. That's not the right motive. Even the giving of our alms and the offering of our prayers are not to be seen of men. The Pharisees were condemned for that. Jesus particularly talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6 of Matthew. Some may have the motive of just being involved in a ceremony of religion. Those who are interested in promoting their traditions, like those in Mark 7, 5 through 9, who rejected the commandments of God and were more concerned about doing that which was a tradition, that which was a ceremony. going through a ceremony, getting through it, getting it over. That's not the right motive for worshiping God. It's possible that some worship God out of necessity. I have to go, I have to do, I have to sing, I have to pray. I have to give. You remember 2 Corinthians 9:7, where he says we are to give cheerfully, not of necessity. Give as we've purposed in the heart, not out of necessity. I don't think it means much to you as a wife if your husband does something for you and says, well, I'm married to you, I've got to do this. You've got a birthday coming, I have to get a present. We don't appreciate things that are done for us out of necessity. But when it's done out of love, it has so much more meaning. There are two basic reasons that we ought to worship and serve God. One is to do His will. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We ought to want to worship God in the right way because that's what He said do. And that's what He desires, John 4:23-24. But we especially ought to worship God because we love Him. And that love ought to be developed because He loved us. Therefore, we love Him. The love of Christ constraineth us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Now, I'm aware that three verses earlier, he said we need to be aware of the terror of the Lord, and there is that element of fear, but the element of fear is not enough. It's involved, but it's not enough. And I humbly say to you this morning, if we attend the services and we're involved in the services and we're involved in other activities, the work of the church and even in evangelism and going out just because we believe it's necessary and not from the motive that we love God as we should, our religion may very well be cheap. David said, I will not offer unto God that which cost me nothing. I'm not going to offer to God cheap religion. You and I will not have cheap religion when we offer what we are and what we have, not what somebody else has. We will not have cheap religion when we just do our best. That's all God requires. We will not have cheap religion when we're willing to sacrifice and dedicate ourselves to God to do our best. And our religion will not be cheap when it is from a heart of love and a motive of wanting to please God. If God were using one word this morning to describe your religion, what would He use? Would it be cheap or would it be great? If we're trying to do the will of God and doing our best, I think God will look at each of us and say, that's great. But less than that, He might very well say, that's cheap. Think about your relationship to God this morning. If you're not a Christian, come to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If you are a child of God and your life has been cheap in His service and needs to be corrected publicly, come asking for forgiveness and prayers as together we stand and sing.